Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Now we're recording. What do you call this place?
West Side Collector Car Storage?
I'm joking.
I'm with Matt Farah. It's Spike first, and Matt Farah. You got the both of us.
At my place of business.
In this series, I've been doing these like these two-man shows just because I've been very busy working, and I found them to be very relaxing. I listened to the show for the first time.
When you've got three alphas on each other, it's aggressive.
Yes, that. And there's also something nice about two people just chatting. I found it to be relaxing that I was the third person in the car listening in. Mm. So I did one with Johnny, I did one with Zuckerman, I did one with Jerry, and number five.
Well, maybe that should be your format. I mean,
Matt
maybe
Farah.
Maybe it's better.
No,
we started studying on the Smoke and Tire podcast our numbers, and we learned that the shows with me and Zach, me and Zach, performed better than all but the biggest celebrities.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I think it was because people understood what they were getting into before they, you know, in an on-demand listening world, people don't like to be given like new things. They like the world of the familiar. They want to know what they're getting.
I can tell you, and I admittedly don't know everything about entertainment, but I've been in the business for a long time. And in this particular genre, podcasts, talk shows, personality shows, people turn in for the people who host the shows.
I know. You told me that once.
It's true. And there's your data to prove it.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, you can put a celebrity in there and it pops way up. But there you
only
become...
Only if the celebrity shares the show with their audience.
Right.
If the celebrity shares the show with their audience, then it's good.
You don't have any sort of clock, so we could see how
I'm wearing a Rolex Skydweller. Do you want...
I'm just going to keep checking the time this way. It is true. They become your friends. They're listening right now, nodding, going, yeah, we feel like we're friends with probably more of you than me. They like the other folks better.
When they come up to me in public and say things that are the kind of things that old friends would say to me.
Like?
I mean, you know, I end up having a lot of one-sided conversations with people. You know, someone comes up to you, you've never met them before, they know the names of all your cats.
That's true. You know, someone knew my dog the other day. Yeah, someone said, how's Gopher? That really impressed Jerry.
Yeah. My wife got stopped in the airport by a fan.
Really?
Yeah, she was into it, actually. She liked it.
Was it Zuckerman? Hey. I seen you on the interwebs. Can I buy some time with you? Can I send you a token?
Can I send you an NFT? It'll be worth millions.
When is that all going to fall apart, the NFT?
Oh, soon.
Soon, right?
Yeah, soon. Yeah. Did you see, I mean, my favorite news story of the year.
What?
Is the guy who bought Jack Dorsey's first tweet as an NFT for $2.9 million in March of 2021 and went to go sell it, and it got $6,800.
Oh, no. Those are some losses he'll be able to carry forward.
12 months. Just imagine, and people think buying cars is dumb. What kind? Imagine you bought a mint condition, 1,500-mile Porsche 959 for $2.9 million in 2021. You think you'd have lost every penny of it a year later? Think the maintenance costs would outweigh that?
What an incredible loss. As you know, you can carry those losses forward. So he, for the rest of his life, he's got losses.
He's not paying taxes.
That he's going to carry forward. But oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a trendy nature to all of that stuff. Like they're hot for a minute, like for a day or two.
And the problem is when the underlying value of the item is zero.
Right.
Right? When Jack Dorsey, the Twitter guy, says, I'm going to sell my first tweet, there's a level of hype behind it, right?
And excitement that week. Right.
But the fucking next guy, now you've bought it. Now you've spent all this money and you have it. What do you do with it? You just post it on your Twitter feed every day? How do you remind people that it even exists?
It's not a thing, right? It's not a thing. But look, I'm totally with you on this. I watch my kids play these video games. They started with Fortnite. Now it's Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And they are always going, hey, I want money for a new skin. Or they get money for their birthday and then they buy this thing. I bought this pack for $50.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you're buying air. You're buying nothing. You know, you wear it in the game, but show it to me when your computer's off. You can't. You should be careful about continuing to enrich these gaming companies. Yeah. But they don't see it that way. So is there a future in this stuff or not?
It's I think the decentralized technology, the blockchain technology will find practical purposes eventually.
Right.
But right now,
Ponzi scheme.
Right now, what it is best used for is for people with an audience who have the ability to hype shit.
Yes.
To extract cash.
Quickly.
U.S. dollars.
Yes.
From people who have fear of missing out and want to get in on the trend.
The beginnings of this were called the pyramid scheme. It may even be before your time. But I remember being a waiter and someone coming up to me going, you know, all you have to do is put in $2,500 and you pay it up. And then when you're at the top of the pyramid, you get $100,000, right?
Yeah.
You lose your $2,500 and then you lose contact with the people who got you in there. It was this pyramid scheme and someone was getting enriched, but I always lost.
Yeah.
Now and then it went away, and now I think it came back as this digital stuff.
Well,
you get excited.
It's a new kind of unregulated security.
It's unregulated, right? And people aren't aware of Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes, and all the money goes in, and you wait, and then you're screwed.
Then it turns out you've spent $3 million on a tweet that I could just go on Twitter and screenshot. You know, it's crazy.
We will talk about cars, ladies and gentlemen. But
eventually,
first, let's talk
this is more fun.
About every plate. Dinner is unavoidable, and it's something we plan around almost every day when you think about the time that goes into deciding what to eat. Shopping, prepping, and cooking dinner can really add up. And sure, alternatives like takeout and delivery are convenient, but they can quickly burn a hole in your wallet. Enter Every Plate, America's best value meal kit. Let me tell you something, Matt Farah. Forget about value. Every Plate is our sponsor. They sent two boxes of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I come home and I had this delicious citrus pork tacos and I'm like, where did this come from? She goes, that sponsor Every Plate that you have. Like,
nice.
It's a great
coming
value.
Coming home to food is excellent.
The food was delicious. And it's like for four nights in a row. And this is no criticism. My wife works very hard with the kids. She's taking care of everything while I'm working on this movie. She cooked dinner every night with this kit. And I said, do you really love it that much? She goes, I do, because it's got the recipe. It's got all the food. I didn't have to go out shopping.
You're still cooking. It's just you're not doing the annoying parts of the cooking. Yeah.
And she makes it, and whoever eats it, I ate it every time. I was off my diet four nights in a row. I came home and ate all the tacos and then the chicken meatballs the next night. That's my pitch for Every Plate. And you guys, you're going to love what they have for you here. Let's see. Every
you got,
Plate.
You got a code for them?
You can try Every Plate for just $1.79 a meal. $1.79 a meal. It's cheap. It's delicious. By going to everyplate.com, entering code SPIKE179, get started with every plate for just $1.79 per meal. By going to everyplate.com and entering code SPIKE179, that's $104 value. But look, sincerely,
every plate.
Pork tacos. You'll eat way too many of them. You'll eat way too many.
You know how, like, tacos have gotten real fancy in L.A.? You know, it's fancy. Not like your Mexican street taco is still the classic. But right. Like the other night, I was like, I'm going to make tacos that are like my mom made in the 90s.
Your mom made tacos in the 90s?
Not like from scratch, but like the Ortega or whatever.
Really?
Kits. Yeah, the kits.
I didn't think they made tacos east of the Mississippi. I never saw one until I came to California.
Yeah. There were occasional tacos.
Wow.
But like hard shell. I hadn't had a hard shell taco a long time. God damn, was it good?
It's great.
I was like, oh yeah, this is why I like
this. We have Taco Tuesday in my house, and they're crunchy and delicious. Let's talk cars.
Kay.
First of all, I really wanted to come in because I saw you had a new job. Congratulations.
Oh,
Road and Track.
Editor at large.
Editor at large.
Do you know what that means?
I don't. And I know when I saw it announced, I went, I don't think Matt knows what it means,
because
then you had to issue a correction.
But
honestly, congratulations, and tell us all about it. What does that mean?
Mike Guy, who's the editor in chief, is like, I want you to be.
I love Mike.
Mike's awesome.
Who we were hanging with.
Yeah, he's great.
Recently. Right.
I want you, and he supported me when he was at The Drive before this,
mm-hmm.
and I've been writing for them freelance for a few years now. I love writing for Road and Track because it's the magazine I read growing up. You know, and you know, when you're a kid reading car magazines, it never seemed like the kind of job that was like that regular people could do or mm-hmm. that like was attainable or achievable. It seemed like you had to be some special person to do it. And so that I get to actually have that job now is pretty amazing. So editor at large, I found out. I always read it. It sounds like someone who came out of retirement or something to do the job, you know?
Yeah, or you're missing in the forest. It's
right.
The editor at large.
Yeah.
He's gone.
No, it literally means you write the large pieces.
Oh, wow.
The big comparison tests, the big features,
mm-hmm.
the big travel pieces. And so...
So you really love to write.
I love it.
Really?
I love it.
You love the loneliness and facing the blank page.
I love being able to sit in front of a typewriter with a whiskey and hate myself. No, I after so many years of making videos, with the videos, you have to get it all out right there while you're doing it. You know, most of the time, if you're Anthony Bourdain or Jeremy Clarkson, you have a little more breathing room.
Only one has more breathing room.
Oof.
But go ahead.
That's fucking cold, but funny.
I didn't bring him up.
That's dark, but funny. you know, when you're doing YouTube videos, you really got to get it all out.
Right.
In the car, while you're there, real time. You don't always remember everything. You don't always say everything in the best possible way it mm-hmm. could be said. I happen to be pretty good at that, but like, you know, nobody's perfect. But with writing... You get to have the experience and then go home and think about it, go for a bike ride, clear your head, mull it around, mm-hmm. have some ideas, come up with some thoughts, decide that this paragraph is better here, decide that this paragraph isn't necessary, decide that there's a better metaphor. You know, you're a writer, you get it. And so...
When you drive a car, so you just get out of a car.
Yeah.
Do you have a premise before you sit down? Do you go, hey, I really love this thing about 75%. I'm going to write from that point of view, or are you like a DeMuro where
I try to put it like if it's just like a supercar review, which is I don't mean to like downplay that. Like
right.
It's writing a supercar review for Road and Track's pretty awesome. I try to put it in context. I have a lot of experience driving supercars
right.
from all different generations, and I try to put the car. You know, a supercar is about the technology and the performance, but it's also about the experience and the heritage. And like, for instance, that Lamborghini Ultimae that I drove, that Aventador I had at Bill's a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, the gray mm-hmm. one. You know, that's a very outdated car. You know, it's old architecture, old transmission. It's clunky compared to the new GT3 or whatever, but it's still culturally incredibly relevant. Mm-hmm. And so I try to write from that perspective when it's, you know, I just did this thing. What's really fun about the new Rodin Track, the Mike Guy era of Rodin Track, they've cut the number of issues in half.
Okay.
6 issues a year instead of 12. They're going to be more like paperback coffee table books, thicker, more room for the photography to breathe. There's a magazine called The Road Rat that came out a couple years ago. I've got a few in there that really started this. Triple Zero is another one.
Triple Zero is there. Hodinkee.
Yeah, like where it's, you know, better paper and fewer ads and better photography and really, really leaning into the craft of it as opposed to being this sort of flimsy paper monthly thing. So the issues are themed, which I like because it allows you to take an angle and find a story. So the next issue is called Analog, right? Something that a lot of us are seeking in our cars. So I have 3 stories in this book. I've got GT4 RS, I've got the Lamborghini Ultimate, and I just did... 2 days ago, I rented a racetrack in Apple Valley, and I had my friend John Bothwell from Persang. You know John?
No.
He's like a dude from, he's like out of the 30s. He's like a fucking, he's great. He's a Model T enthusiast.
Oh, is that why you were in those?
Yeah.
The first 4x4.
Right. So he was, he had 2 period modified Model Ts. One was modified in period to be the ultimate off-roader, the Model T Raptor.
Wow.
So it had 12 speeds and big for the time, big tires and metal wheels and upgraded drum brakes and a better radiator, just shit for off-roading. And then he had another one that was a race car. Mm-hmm. And it looked kind of like a Mercer race about, you know, where it's like two rails and a chair, basically. And these two extreme opposites started in the middle as the same car.
Right.
You know, the same. They invented the aftermarket with the Model T. A Mercer was like $8,000. A Model T was $250 bucks.
Yeah.
And so the race car one had a gas pedal, which was novel at the time, and this V-shaped radiator for extra cooling, and the whole engine was moved a foot back in the chassis, and just all this, you know, race stuff.
Yeah.
And so I got to drive both, you know, back to back and explore what the aftermarket, the creation of the aftermarket and the American tuning culture around the Model T, which democratized performance and, you know, all it took was like 2 neighbors to roll up next to each other in the same Model T for one of them to go, I need to change mine a little bit.
That was the beginning.
You know? And
yeah.
They had these catalogs that I've seen that are really, really thick in so many parts. I mean, you think that you could modify a Mustang or a Porsche today? Yeah. Like, fucking no.
I mean, a lot of people don't know those rubber testicles came from the original Model T accessory catalog.
They were horse nuts.
And there was an Amish Playboy lady with all her clothes on also from that same catalog.
So that story is coming out as well. And it's like, you know, as analog as cars get.
That's exciting.
A lot of ways to die. So I get to do, I pitch that. So I get to do stuff like that.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
How many Road and Track guys are out here in L.A.? Is it just you?
Yeah.
Because Mike's in New York.
Couple are in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Couple are up north. Yeah, I think I'm the LA guy.
And they lean into old media. They lean into the paper pages.
Yeah, I mean, they have the website, obviously, as well.
Is there a whole different team that does that, or are you involved in that?
There's a different team, but I will be writing one
story. That's where Travis is, right?
Travis is running, the editorial for web.
Right, Travis Kowalski.
I just wrote my Nissan 400, or it's not 400, just the new Nissan Z. I just wrote that for the website.
So I'm going to ask you about the GT4 RS in a minute. But
we could do that.
Let's talk about collecting cars.
Collecting cars. Edward Lovett.
And?
Chris Harris.
That's right.
I make sure to put Ed Lovett first just in case Chris Harris hears
this. He just tagged me in an Instagram post for this car right here.
Is that the yellow CGT? Yeah, I saw that one.
2005 Porsche Carrera GT. There are rare supercars, and then there are rare supercars.
Is there something special about that yellow one? I mean, beyond being a
Carrera. Has only 89. Oh, wait. This Porsche Carrera is one of just 89 cars that left the factory in faience yellow, otherwise known as
color.
yellow. It's as exciting to drive as it is to look at with the Race Red, I think they mean Race Ready, 5.7 liter V8, V10, the greatest sound in all of automotive, I will tell you. I've driven them. I shouldn't have hyped these because I was hyping them when they were going down.
The
going,
key is to buy them like and then hype them. Then hype them. Buy first, then hype.
I was just like, there's nothing like this car. Yeah. And if you're going to have a Porsche collection, you got some money, you got to have one. And then they went pop. 604 horsepower. Sure, they're a little tricky out of first gear, but whatever. Nothing sounds like this. This car has been with the seller for 7 years and has detailed service history during their ownership. The original Pilot Sport tires fitted to the Carrera GT left something to be desired, so bidders will be pleased to know this car has newly fitted. I know what you're thinking about right now.
Set up and good. Improved, I'm thinking
no
good.
Rated Michelin Pilot Super Sport cars. Now, where was there a big Carrera GT accident you that read, had something you read to do with the tires?
You read the first half of that sentence, and I went, oh, no. It said the original tires. I was like, no!
We all
no!
thought of something. Don't think about it. Don't say it. The factory specs, blah, blah, blah. This is a great car. If you have the money, get it. Wednesday, May 11th, it closes for bids. They also have something for everybody, 2008 Porsche 911 Turbo Cab. Here it is. Look at that.
Nice California
911
car.
Turbos with manual transmissions are a hot property right now, so this 997 Turbo Cab is a great find with a three-pedal gearbox in rare macadamia. Metallic. I don't even know. Is that a brownie?
Yeah, it's
with a sand
that's,
beige.
That's Porsche speak for D's nuts brown.
Yeah, there you go. 997, 0 to 60 in 3.0 seconds, 194 top speed. This 911, it's 51,000 miles. So there you go.
That's good driver quality.
Yep.
And a convertible, too. You can save money with a ragtop. The real enthusiasts.
You want some cool stuff? Go to collectingcars.com. You want to sell your car? You can list it for free and have a global audience. All right.
I just saw a yellow Carrera GT at the Audrain collection last month. That color is aggressive in those cars. It is really, really. You're not going to be missed in a yellow CGT. They're going to see you coming.
I drove the yellow Audi R8 and really loved the yellow.
Oh, yeah.
On it. It just made
Isn't
me
that
happy.
A nice car?
Yeah.
It's a really,
really nice car.
I mean, it's like a Huracan that's just so much more comfortable. Because, you know, the R8 has 5 extra inches of wheelbase,
thought, yeah.
And all of it goes into the passenger compartment.
Right.
So you get so much more space.
I just found it driving. I have a kind of goofball city drive now, so bumpy Melrose into Paramount Studios area, right? And it's
good at
and
that.
And I found it was just perfect, quiet. It didn't make a lot of noise. And then when I got on the highway, I wanted to open it up. But it perfect thing.
It's a very nice car.
The exterior design, just a little, we could update it. We can make it cooler. But it's not bad.
Update?
Didn't hate it.
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could make it badass.
I thought they were actually going to stop making those. I'm surprised they still have press cars. I thought it was.
Right,
I thought it was the end of the line.
That. Here. Wait. Now you. Let's talk about GT4 RS.
Okay.
You know I'm getting one. Zuckerman and I are.
Oh, you are?
One. Yes.
Cool.
Thanks to Corey Biller at Burt Smith Porsche.
Sweet.
We're going to keep saying his name.
They're awesome.
You drove it?
Yeah, street and track.
Tell me everything you know.
I drove it on Willow Springs.
Okay.
And I drove it on the road for 6 days.
Okay, who else was there at this Willow Springs event, and why wasn't I there? Was it just you?
It wasn't just me, but it was a small event. They only have two. They only have two. They're both Euro cars. They have a yellow non-Weissach and then the blue-gray... with Weissach,
the show car,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So there were only two in the country. So they were, and the only reason I got to do a second go,
yep.
was because of the road and track. That business card is excellent.
Oh, good.
Because otherwise, I would have only had the track.
Yeah,
drive
you needed
and not,
help getting press cars.
I mean,
you're
know,
already doing fine.
No, I know, but like, and you know, it's nice of them to invite me
to
the track event.
Yes.
That was good. I got a video out of it,
yeah.
two videos out of it. Wow. But the road and track piece got me 6 days on the street with it. Which I thought was
all right.
Important
well, let's start. You sit down in the car.
It is the best modern Porsche. Period.
I have a GT3 Touring. Better?
It's better.
It's better.
Yeah,
why?
It's better because
size.
The size. The size. It fundamentally has the same amount of space in the driver's compartment, but mm-hmm. the rest of the car is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to place on the canyon roads.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I love the 992s. I really do. I had the Turbo S lightweight last week, and mm-hmm. I loved it. But GT4 RS, you know, it's the best engine they've got, right?
Yep.
Paired with arguably the best gearbox they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the best chassis they've got.
What's the weight? Is it different?
The weight is...
Than a GT3?
It's lighter.
It's lighter.
Yeah, it's lighter. It's like 80, 90 pounds lighter than a GT3.
Okay.
The airbox is in the cabin. You share a physical airspace with the airbox itself, and the air intakes are in the cabin. So they get rid of the rear quarter windows. Those are the air intakes. And the air goes right behind your head into the airbox that's sitting here.
So do you have to have your windows open?
No, it's loud.
It's just loud.
Oh, yeah, it's loud.
Wow.
But it's good loud.
It's good loud.
It's good loud.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no other car that sounds like this.
You know, the GT3 Touring is a little bumpy on the road. The tires are a little loud. Did you notice that in this car?
The 4RS, it's an RS product.
It is.
It's harsh on the street. It is. It's in the canyons. It's great. On the track, it's incredible. And when the tarmac is good, it's good. But on the LA freeways, it's rough.
It's a little noisy.
It's rough. Right? I even said in my, you know, you got to bring a bib because if you try and have a tumbler of coffee, you're going to spill that shit all over.
So it's that
rough.
Bumpy.
It's rough. Yeah, it's rough. It is. But it's an RS product. I mean, it's a pure RS product and they're all stiff. I mean, the 2 RS is not, it's a little less stiff than the 9, no, sorry. It's a little stiffer than the GT2 RS on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same as the new GT3. Maybe, about the same. It's not, you wouldn't buy one to daily drive. You wouldn't want one because not only is it stiffer, you can feel there's less sound deadening.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear the gravel hitting the inside of the fender wells. It's an RS product.
I mean,
through and through an RS product. But the shorty gears, I mean, the ratios are perfect, you know, because all the magic And you know from the GT3, but even more so in this car because of that airbox, all the magic happens between 7 and 9,000 RPM. If you don't shift past 7, you're not doing it. You're not. I mean, it still sounds nice. It still is good. It still is balanced. It still has amazing brakes, amazing steering feel, amazing all that stuff. But if you're not revving the absolute snot out of it, you're not getting your money's worth. And it'll take it. I mean, at this track days, there was 4 or 5 journalists there, plus Pat Long, and we were beating the balls off these cars. It was hot.
Wow.
And we were beating on them so hard, and they couldn't care less, these cars. That's what a Porsche GT engine is for just smashing the rev limiter, and it just doesn't care. Between 7 and 9, a sound comes out of this car, not inside, a sound comes into the car that will make you tingle.
Really?
It is so good. It sounds like you've been in a McLaren F1. It sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just this mechanical harmony, you know, combined with that wah of an engine that's got like the carbs. You know, you ever drive like an old V12 carbed Countach or something? It's like that meets that Porsche chain whine meets like the valve, and it's just all being shot into your ears. It's so great.
Do you think they're gonna, you know, they're rumored the Sport Classic they announced?
Yeah, I saw it. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be awesome.
GT4S cooler?
If I only had to pick, it depends. If I wanted something I took out every weekend and only drove in the canyons or only took the track days, GT4RS. You could daily drive the Sport Classic.
Right.
You know, that's the 4RS is not a good daily driver.
It's
not.
Extreme fun.
I don't recommend it. It is like sensory overload, fizz, motorsport theater. It's the extreme of those things.
That's exciting.
But you don't... You wouldn't have, it wouldn't even be fun to daily drive.
Right.
It's just rough.
Right.
It's just rough and feels like a race car.
Mm-hmm.
GT3 RS, the last one, that wasn't so fun to daily drive. It felt like a race car too.
I got out of our GT3 Touring into the GT2 RS and I felt like I was in a Mercedes sedan.
Yeah.
I was just like, boy, this is a comfortable car. It also felt smaller and small for the first time.
Well, and so now and if you get in the Cayman, you go, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, for me, you know, my car went into the ocean.
Right. Expensive coral reef.
So I have an update on that. They're building me a new one.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, mid-July. In theory, I'll have it of 2030.
Yeah. Of 2030.
So first, they ran out of ceramic brakes. And they said no ceramic brakes.
Right.
Then the wiring harness thing, right?
But they got with the ceramics, they got them back, right?
No.
I just ordered ceramics.
Right. For a 23 model year build.
Right.
Yeah. They canceled them for all 22s.
I see.
I found a workaround.
Which is?
Deman, who's doing the engine for me,
mm-hmm.
his shop builds race cars, and they take them off a lot of cars.
Oh, wow.
So he had a brand.
What do you mean? Why?
The guys who do a lot of track days, they like to take off ceramics and go to steels. Because they are cheaper to replace, honestly.
Okay,
and they don't care about things like brake dust and stuff like that. A really good set of track steel brakes,
mm-hmm.
if you're really building a race car, will suit your needs better than the ceramics. The ceramics are really great for the enthusiasts like us,
mm-hmm.
who want to drive the car hard and not replace the brake pads and not have the brake dust, that kind of thing. But for actual like track junkies, so anyway, this guy takes off ceramics from brand new cars. So he got a set of rotors from a 2018 GT4. They're identical to what's in the current one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got one of the four remaining sets of ceramic calipers from the parts department in Germany.
Wow.
So I now have an engine on a stand, a box full of aftermarket gears,
mm-hmm.
and a box of ceramic brakes sitting in demand waiting for this car. So my car is going to be more street-oriented than the RS, right? My car is going to be more power, but it not rev quite as high,
because mm-hmm.
it's a stroker engine, right? So, and I'm going to do, you know, stick shift, and I'm doing the comfort seats. So for my personal use case and my personal dollars invested, the thing that we're building will make me happier than the RS would be, because I'm not in my personal life going to maximize what the RS does the best. Having said that, if you can get an allocation for a 4RS, you should. You absolutely should.
Yeah.
No reason not to.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, it's a great
What color are you guys getting? Do you know?
It's a secret.
Okay.
We did, you know, a low-key livery for the GT3 Touring, and this one, we took some time with it and made it a little nutty and made it fun.
So. I will say the Weissach package is very expensive, and I could not feel the difference driving the car compared to the non-Weissach.
I want a level beyond Weissach.
You got Weissach with magnesiums?
We went past. We did some special wishes stuff. You'll
see. Cool.
It's
right.
Cool. It's all fun. But we just thought, why not? We know it's going to be a winner. But then, you know, there's other stuff. What have you heard about STs? What have you heard about these other, you know?
I've heard about the Dakar.
Okay.
Which is the Safari.
Who's
the 992
building that?
Safari.
Exclusive department?
I don't know anything
GT
beyond
department?
The fact that I don't think it's GT. I think it's a regular production.
Is there a new Safari department?
Well, they're calling it Dakar. They're not calling it Safari.
Yes.
But I have gotten some unofficial confirmations that it's going to be built.
Wow. Does that excite you?
Yeah, it's fucking cool. Yeah, definitely. It's going to be awesome.
Isn't it amazing all the things they're making all of a sudden?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
When you're that profitable, it's what you should do with it.
You get something and then you're waiting for the next thing. It's never ending.
I'm glad that I don't have the keeping up with the Joneses gene regarding modern cars. I think my job spoils me that I get between the cars and the Bob's watches.
Yeah.
You know, you get the taste.
Yeah.
And then right when it wears off, you give it back, especially with Bob's. Like getting a box in the mail from Bob's of a demo, it's just like I bought it.
It is exactly like it.
And for a month, I get this new watch vibe.
Is that what you're wearing at Bob's right now?
Yeah, I got a Sky Dweller this month, which I like, but I'm glad I'm demoing it because I thought I would be like in love with it and want to buy it, and I'm actually not. It's actually very hard to tell time on. I think this may be even harder to tell time than a Daytona.
I continue to take out like the Daytona 116500, the new white Daytona, and then I return it and then ask for it back. I just keep doing it. I'm just owning the same watch.
Did you see the ridiculous mother of pearl Yachtmaster I got like last month
from them?
Yeah, full gold Yachtmaster with a Tahitian mother of pearl dial. It was amazing.
Have you started thinking about, you know, with all the street crime that you read about? I don't know if it's real or not, but do you start? You know, I have found that I'm starting to cover up my wrist when I'm walking around.
I consider circumstances,
right?
Yeah, I do think that those stories are, they're not overblown. It's not like they're made up and not happening. But I think the media coverage of stuff like that is outsized.
You know, if the watch gets stolen, they make you pay for it. Did you know that?
Have you read Bob's? Yeah. No, I
have
do.
You read
I
that
do
contract?
Yes, I did.
I read it for the first time. Yeah.
I don't wear in the high risk situations.
No,
I know
when
what
you're
mean,
wearing
though.
A $100,000 watch.
Yep.
That's a big hit if you lose it.
I know.
And I was up skiing with one, wiping out, you know, splattering yard sale. Lucky the watch stayed on my head. Hey, listeners, this probably won't surprise you, but I've never been a big art guy. I mean, unless you consider bumper stickers works of art. I didn't write that joke. That is until I learned that Picasso paintings sold for over $100 million in 2021. That's a lot of zeros, folks. Not only that, art price appreciation has outpaced the S&P 500 since 1995. So when the market takes a hit, which it's been doing this week, a well-diversified art portfolio might not, which isn't that surprising considering some billionaires like Matt Farah have been laughing all the way to the bank and investing in art for centuries.
Have you seen the Dali in my bathroom?
Yeah. He's got three of them in his bathroom, and one is a urinal pad. It's just there. You just hit that. That's the target. But this should really put a smile on your face. Now you can get just like Jeff Bezos. And I'm not talking about having a messy divorce. Jeez, guys.
Is that written?
That's written.
I'm not talking about busting unions and have a messy divorce.
Got an office near me in Santa Monica Airport. I don't know why I want to be harassing Jeff Bezos in my Masterworks ad. I'm talking about investing in blue chip artwork with Masterworks. Masterworks is unlocking the once exclusive contemporary art market so you can add paintings from iconic artists like Warhol. Yes, I would buy that. Basquiat and Banksy. Three of my favorites. And Masterworks is even going to give my listeners priority access to the newest offerings. Just go to masterworks.io/spike911. Masterworks.io/spike911. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/CD. Spike911.
Oh.
And /disclaimer, I guess.
I wasn't kidding about the Dali in the bathroom.
You really have one? A pencil sketch.
It's like an etching.
Yeah.
Do you not know about the mystery Dali?
No.
Oh, I never told you the story?
I don't think so.
So when I got married three years ago,
Dali.
People out there don't know. Now, wedding gifts and everything is just done and mailed. No one brings anything to the wedding.
Right.
So for like a couple months, we're getting shit in the mail from the registry and from whatever, right? And gifts and this box shows up. It's like a crate, wooden crate shows up at my house, and there's a fucking Dali in it.
Wow.
And it's like in this, you know, like gilded, like, you know, art gallery frame, certificate of authenticity from some gallery in the East Coast. There's no note.
Wow.
There's no card. There's no anything.
Right.
And Hannah, my wife, was really organized in terms of her spreadsheets of, you know, who got us what gifts so that she could write thank you notes.
Of course.
And whatever, as you should be with these types of things. Nobody on the fucking list was like missing. Like there was no blood. So this Dali shows up and I called the gallery. I left them two messages. They never called me back.
Wow.
And I have absolutely no idea where it came from. And we called it the mystery Dali. And it's literally, it's hanging.
You still don't know?
So I do know now, like a year and a half later.
Yep.
My one friend who was invited to my wedding but didn't come, couldn't come. He goes, hey, did you ever get that painting?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I remember from high school that you thought Dali was cool.
Yeah.
Like my friend from high school. And he sent me this. And I was like, dude, we've had
that's a huge gift. I mean, they're not like multi-million dollar paintings.
It was a few thousand bucks.
Yeah, they're in the thousands, right.
It's like probably five figures.
Yes.
And this guy says it to me. And then like, I don't, with no.
What does your friend do that he's got a movie that kind of scratch?
Now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So am I.
Yeah.
Wow. What movies is he making?
He's making something right now that's about.
Salvador Dali.
No. His last movie was pretty good. His last movie was called Ingrid Goes West. It was like a Sundance movie about this like Instagram stalker chick with Aubrey Plaza was in it.
She's lovely.
She is lovely.
I've met her a few times.
Yeah. He's working on a new one right now that I can't remember the name of, but he's a movie producer. And so he sends me this thing.
He lives here now.
He's bi-coastal. Yeah,
wow.
New York and L.A. But he fucking, it's hanging
what
in the bathroom
gift.
Right now.
And you didn't thank him for a year and a half.
I didn't know who to thank.
Did he explain why there was no card in it?
No.
What the hell? What kind of movie producer would do this?
He had no explanation.
No follow through on the note?
If I sent someone a painting like that, I'd be fucking pissed if they
I'd be delivering it in person.
He wasn't mad. He was literally like, hey, did you ever get that Salvador Dali I sent you?
You know, I think about art a lot, and at one point I became really obsessed with like Porsche art and old posters, and I started buying up. And luckily it was early when stuff really wasn't expensive, and I have some stuff that appreciated in value. But I found out that I would get obsessed with a poster, and a race for like 1958 or this Belagon thing, and I'd find it. I would secure it. I would pay for it, and then I never thought about it again. I would hang it up. And then I wouldn't even look at it.
Hang it somewhere where you'd see it? Or just,
I have a ton of stuff. I mean, there's
like
a ton
in the hangar, there's some stuff.
I have a ton of stuff in the hangar. Yeah. I have stuff in my house. I put stuff in my kids' room. But I'm just saying, in general, my trajectory was obsessed, track down, buy, frame, hang, never look at it again. I didn't.
You might as well buy NFTs.
I could, and I stopped doing it. And then I noticed I'm storing a ton of stuff. Yeah. It's a really interesting thing about memorabilia. Like, you get it, you want it, but then I found the stuff that I put in my kids' rooms, I see it in photography. Like, if we're taking a goofy picture of the dog, I see it in the background. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, that's cool, right? But I have trouble, and so I don't know that I would ever spend, because if you had $100 million and you wanted to buy a painting, don't you feel like you're just bragging? You're just going, hey, look at this.
We have a friend in common whose name I won't say, but he has one of the, he lives in here in LA, and he has one of the biggest private Warhol collections in the world.
Really?
It's 35 Warhols.
That's
And he's
cool.
also got multiple Basquiats.
Really?
And they're in his house.
Okay, well, that's cool.
And I went to his house.
Yeah.
One of our other friends brought me over there. I went to his house, and as I walked around—
What was
around,
the security system like?
I walked, simply safe. As I walked around the house, I mean, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I wondered if I lived there, if I would stop seeing it after a while, and
it would
just be a thing on the wall.
It's like the view. So you're buying it for other people's enjoyment.
Yeah,
it's like an ocean view or any other view after a week. It's just like...
It's just there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But there's something cool about that if you socialize and folks are coming over. But
sure. Look, I was a photography major in college, so I've got... I not only do I have at my house stuff that I shot, from college, it's still hanging in big, large format frames and stuff. But people, I get a lot of pictures from guys like Larry Chan and whatever. And so I end up framing a lot of it and hanging it here or hanging it at
home. Were you ever a Walker Evans fan?
I am familiar with Walker Evans'
depression,
work.
Depression era
stuff.
Black and white documentation.
I really like very rich color landscape and architecture, like Peter Lick, Michael Fatale, the stuff that's printed on the cyberchrome where it really looks like it's like glowing.
Yeah.
As a colorblind guy, I'm colorblind. So these hyper realistic, hyper vivid colors were always kind of what did
it for me. Do you get the sense that there's no more photography out there because everybody has an iPhone taking pictures? That it just kind of.
It's hard to find really great stuff. It is.
Is there anybody out there making money as a
an artistic professional photographer at this point?
It certainly. I mean, I wanted that to be my career.
Me too.
And the year I graduated.
Did you know that about me?
I didn't, no.
I have two uncles who are professional photographers. Uh-huh. One taught at Columbia, the other taught at Yale, and they taught photography.
Yeah.
And they were both art photographers. They both Walker Evans fans, which is the only reason I know who Walker Evans is. But growing up, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my dad got me, not an internship, but he went down to the local wedding photographer.
Yeah,
down
a photo assistant or something.
Yeah, and he goes, you can work with him on Saturdays. He'll teach you how to do it. And I went in the first minute. He goes, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take some pictures. We're going to do some development. He goes, you really want to do this for a living? And I go, yeah. And he goes, you're not going to make any money. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it. I said, what do you mean? I love this. He goes, but you will make no money. If you're lucky, you'll be here working with me.
Yeah.
And I went, well, that sounds terrible. Yeah, that sounds terrible. And he went, honestly, you really shouldn't pursue this. He goes, my life is not good.
I'm very grateful
for that guy, because I thought my enthusiasm for this stuff, but in a way, I kind of went into it.
I tell that to people about writing about cars all the time.
Yeah. So. But photography is kind of like media. I ended up doing TV and now we're doing movies, and that's some version of photography.
I graduated from college in 2004, which is the same year two things happened. First commercially available digital SLR and Craigslist.
Wow.
And that was the end of well-paid commercial photography.
And the beginning of human trafficking. Keep your car looking its absolute best year-round with 303 cleaners and protectants. 303's revolutionary graphene nano spray coating gives you professional protection. In a simple-to-use spray formula, it will keep your car's paint protected for up to 12 months and give you insane levels of depth and gloss. You can also use their brand-new 303 graphene detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine throughout the year. It can even be used for a quick cleanup of light dust and fingerprints. And all the things that fall from Bill's Malibu kitchen trees.
My Countach got crapped on
Me
Sunday.
Me too. There's that tree now by the exit. You know, they cut the tree down where they used to live, and that was in the center.
Yeah.
And now they moved to the big pine tree.
Yeah.
And now if you exit on Bill's side, you get destroyed.
Yep.
I destroyed Zuckerman's GT2 RS, which I feel bad about. Worst Jerry in a 1959 perfectly restored Carrera GT 356.
Oh, no.
We both got hit. But thank God for the Graphene 303 line of protection products. It really did work. I sprayed my nano spray coating after I washed it off, and the car looked just beautiful. And Zuckerman said, I wish you hadn't have told me that story, but I'm glad the car looks nice. But I can't get it out of my brain. 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating gives professional protection and an easy-to-use formula. Go to 303radio.com for more information. 303radio.com for more information. It's also available at Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, and Walmart. You were...
Did you see Jay wrote about...
Jay Leno?
Yeah, he wrote about...
He can write?
He wrote...
Just joking.
He's got a column in Haggerty every month.
He does?
Yeah.
Wow, how does he get all this stuff done?
I mean, I don't know. But he wrote about Bills.
He did?
Yeah, he wrote about the situation.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
What did he say? Oh, the situation where the police are...
Yeah, just like the whole, you know, that he likes going to cars and coffees and likes talking to people and whatever, and you leave a spot for him. And
He said that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. But, how sweet.
But that, you know, he said it's like how dumb it was. People, the headlines obviously take the celebrity's name first.
Yes.
And he was saying that how dumb it, they're calling it like Jay Leno and pals.
Yes.
He's like, as if I was leading a procession of cars, you know, to Bill's. And they're saying like, how would you like it if we all parked in your lawn? He's like, I'm not on your lawn, lady. I'm in a parking lot. I'm parking in a space that's meant for parking.
Like, we are old guys. Getting coffee and our legs hurt from standing, and we just sit and we look at cars. And
I have a new hat.
Is it still going on? I mean, I haven't been out in a couple weeks, but
it's still going
everybody's
on.
Everybody's still showing up.
It's everyone shows up between 10 and 10:02.
Right.
Between 10 and 10:02, it's 150
it's
cars
right.
instant.
I was told that I don't promote it anymore, so let me promote it right now. Come any Sunday to the Malibu Country Mart, and there's always cars to look at. Starting at 10 a.m., and make sure you buy something at Bill's of the Malibu Kitchen. Audi's going to be there with a new A3. Did they call you about that?
Someone did ask me about bringing it.
They said, look,
I said, don't use my name. Bring whatever you want, but I didn't tell you to show up.
They were like, you want one? I think it's next weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, it's this weekend.
Yeah.
They're going to have the new A3. They wanted us all to drive A3s. I'll drive an A3.
I've got that Lucid, which is the perfect hack, because I can be like, I need to go to the Chargers, and they have to let me in.
I want to hear about the Lucid.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Have you been around one or driven one yet?
Well, you know, I have a friend who's got one. I've been reading a lot about they're having trouble making them. They've been putting
there's been supply chain issues.
Yeah. But what do you think?
They're getting parts on Amazon? Is that what you just said? Is that for real?
Oh, for real. Yeah. That's hilarious. Fact, I think it was the drive that broke the story. Somebody did. But
that's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. They spoke to six people who were working there.
Yeah.
You know, confidentially.
Yeah.
But six different people. I think one is still there. The other five were not working there.
They were just like,
it's madness. Startup madness.
Starting a new car company must be very hard right now.
Especially right now. Yeah. But, you know, you like it, right? You're rooting for them to succeed or not?
I'm rooting for them to succeed. I like it. It is a very cool product. I mean, the styling I really like. I think it's very French deco. If you said this is the new Citroën DS, I would be like, yes, of course it is. It's very comfortable. It's obviously, you know, very fast. I've got the fast one. It's 1,100 horsepower,
wow,
which is just, you know, crazy.
Which charges up to how many miles?
This thing has, the range is 440 miles, and they have the long range. This is not the long range one. This is the performance. The range one apparently is 520 miles, which has 900 horsepower.
And will it still charge overnight, or is that linked up for a couple of days?
No. I mean, it has a big battery pack.
I wake up in the morning, it's ready to go.
It will charge at the same speed as a Tesla.
Okay.
From a level two, if you've got a home charger, it'll charge at the same speed. It has a slightly bigger battery than a Tesla Plaid, but it is also a little bit, miles per kilowatt hour is how they judge that.
Mm-hmm.
It is slightly more efficient. It's very slightly. I mean, it's like, you know, a 0.05% or something more efficient, they say, than because of the aerodynamics and the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's the most efficient of the high performance EVs, according to them. I have no way of fact checking that.
And how is it inside? Silent and lovely and luxurious?
Yeah.
Or is
I mean, we probably should let you poke around before the show so you could judge for yourself. But early car. It's a very early pre-production car. So it's the build quality feels really nice. The materials are nice. The massage seats are great. The computers are a little slow to respond to touches, but I have been assured that the production cars are much faster. This thing has like 7,000 miles on it, which for any press car is a very old car, especially for a company like Lucid with a startup. But the way it shows very little signs of wear on the leather, on the other materials for being a 7,000-mile press car. It's when I drove it in the canyons, the first time I drive it, I had like an hour and I was just like, okay, how do I put it in drive? How do I put it in fast? And now I drive. So dynamically, I was really impressed. It's fast. It's planted. The brakes are great. The ride quality is really good. All that stuff is great. I drove in a pissing rainstorm and it really performed really well.
Wow.
Driving it around the road in traffic, trying to futz with the radio, trying to type in GPS coordinates, trying to like do things while I'm driving. It's not quite as intuitive as Tesla or Rivian. Tesla and Rivian have very similar UI. And those are like
urinary tract infection.
Yes. Okay. They both do the UIs really, really, really slick.
What is UI?
The user interface.
Oh,
the touchscreen. Right. The touchscreen. The way you select a radio station or type in a nav address or
seamless.
Basics.
Lovely.
They do a great job. Both those companies do. The Rivian screen is really fast, too. This one, it's just not quite as intuitive. And I've only had it for one day. I have it for a week, so I'll let you know at the other end of it if I get a little more used to it.
But they can update that, right?
They can. They have. I've been assured the new computers are faster and have updates.
They need to.
Huh?
They need to.
Did you talk to Tony about his?
No, I'm just, I hear what you, those little details matter in these cars. They really matter a lot. You want them thinking they're ahead of you in what you want, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. As they update, you want to go, oh, I didn't know I needed that.
I didn't know that.
You don't want to think you're behind where I'm at.
Yeah.
Right.
They said, you know, And I believe them. I don't think they're lying. They said, look, we'll give you this car for a week, but it's an early build, so you got to give us a little bit of benefit of the doubt for some of this stuff. And so I will.
Fair enough.
I will. But I do like driving it. People who see it on the street love it.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what the fuck is that? You know, I took it to the Forum last night to see Pearl Jam, and everybody in the parking lot was like, whoa. You know, it's that gold.
That's the Pearl Jam audience.
Pearl Jam was great last night.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is that?
They were great last night. And I saw Bert Kreischer at the Greek two nights ago.
Oh, yeah.
Killed.
Did you tackle him?
Everybody's got a joke about that now.
What's the joke? Here, let me hear
just,
some.
None of them were good. That's the problem. Everyone,
Chris Rock's was, is that Will Smith?
That's the best one.
That was the best one.
Bert and then Mark Normand and Sam Morril opened for Bert, and all three of them did jokes about it, and none of them were good. And then last night, I'm at Pearl Jam, and fucking Eddie Vedder's like, I'm not telling any fucking jokes, so don't jump off. And I'm like, oh, Eddie. Someone maybe will eventually have a good joke about it, but it hasn't really happened yet.
I love all the people saying, this is the beginning of the end of comedy.
It's one fucking crazy guy.
It's two crazy guys.
Well, one happens to be a celebrity who won an Oscar, and the other is...
People have been getting attacked on stage forever.
Disguising a knife as a gun.
People get shot on stage. Yeah. It's been going on forever. I like the knife, the rubber gun, and then the knife on the end. I thought that was fun.
I mean, that's like...
It was a clever kind of way to show there is absolutely no security.
Yeah. That was what I'm trying to prove.
I got a gun and a knife together, and look, I get it right through. You get searched when you go through the.
You
now
do.
I'm thinking about every
you
time.
You do.
I've
there's metal
through,
detectors.
Yeah, there's metal detectors.
But you know what happens? I have a belt that I wear always.
Yeah.
Just a regular ass belt.
Mm-hmm.
And every airport metal detector, it sets off. So I have to take it off at the airport, right? It has never once set off one of these stadium or theater venue metal detectors, ever.
Yeah.
The same belt. They're not good.
Obviously. I'm going to attack Yo-Yo Ma this weekend at the Hollywood Bowl. Tackle him on
Fuck your cello!
Yo-Yo Ma, stop him! Stop him!
Go cut his cello strings with your knife that looks like a gun.
I thought it was so weird when Chappelle was like, stomp him, stomp him, and then everybody is stomping the guy in full view of the audience. So I called Zuckerman up and I said, hey, this little extra beat of this guy after he tries to stab Chappelle, and then Chappelle calls for him to be stomped, and then he's beaten up and his arm is broken. Like, I don't think
What's the liability there?
What's the liability?
Yeah.
What did Zuckerman say? I said, this is a good question, right? And I read it by Jerry. He goes, ooh, that's a good one. What is it? And he goes, and Jerry and I were on both sides of it. I said there was a lot of liability there, and it's a valid case. And Jerry says, not a chance. And Zuckerman said, you're both right.
Yeah.
He goes, if this were on the law school exam, you would say... Cut and dry liability case. It was violence after the moment.
Sure. He's no longer a threat, and now it's retribution.
It's retribution, right?
Right.
He goes, in a courtroom, I would never take the case. But if I did take it, a jury might award him.
Yeah.
But they would give him $0.
Yeah.
Right? And the jury would hate him. Therefore,
you had it coming.
I would never take the case. Yeah. I would never take the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it could run afoul of the law. Sure. Really interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
I should have gone to law school.
I mean,
isn't a lot of the law,
and not to impugn lawyers, but a lot of the law is like common sense, right? It's like, how do you...
Zuckerman always has a great point of view.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a doctor on the front lines or a police officer on the front lines. They see things very differently than we take them in through media and digest them. And that was a perfect example.
Sure.
Of it. This is what really happens here.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
We get no dollars from it.
Yeah.
Before you go.
What else you got?
I don't want to wrap up yet. I just, because I heard you talking about this car and I don't know what you're talking about. This 992 Turbo S Lightweight. What is that? What is that?
Oh, it's like an option package. It's like a $10,000 option package for the Turbo S.
And how much weight does it take?
80 pounds.
80 pounds.
Could you
feel it?
No, absolutely not.
Well, then you were saying the GT4 RS was 80 pounds lighter than the GT3 Touring, but that...
You're not feeling the weight. You're feeling the size.
You're feeling the size.
Right. Yeah, the size makes more of a difference. I mean, look, and if I drove the two cars immediately back to back, could I feel the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference with this lightweight kit for the Turbo S, it's no back seat, right? But rear seat delete.
Yeah, yeah.
Buckets.
Yep.
Light glass.
Mm-hmm.
Reduced sound deadening.
That's cool, too.
Yeah. Right?
I like all that.
And a carbon roof. That's your...
I like all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with any of it.
I wouldn't expect it to be quicker.
A manual steering adjuster. No power steering wheel. Power steering, but no... It's a lever to adjust the wheel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like who gives a shit? Fine.
So they save money on that and make money on that.
Yes.
Wow.
But the difference is if you have a stopwatch... It runs a 9 second quarter mile. The regular Turbo S will do like a 10.1 at 134. This one does a 9.9 at 139.
That's significant too.
So it is the cheapest, least powerful. Here's a good fact. The cheapest, least powerful car to ever run nines from the factory. It does a quarter mile the same as the 918 Spider.
Wow.
Which was over $1 million, you know, 8 years ago.
Wow.
And still over $1 million.
Yeah.
It does 0 to 30 in 0.8 seconds. It launches hard as a mother. And by the way, that's quicker than a Plaid.
Yeah.
Actually.
It is?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a tenth quicker than a Plaid.
To 30.
And then it does 0 to 60 in 2.1, which matches the Plaid.
Wow. 2.1.
2.1.
Wow.
Yeah. This fucking thing rips.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take all of that.
You know, can your body feel the difference between 2.3 and 2.1? Not really. Not really.
I like that.
But of course you like it. For 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving.
Wow.
You know? And so this thing was the one I drove, the yellow car, which Johnny also drove before me. It smelled like Jew.
Johnny Lieberswines.
He's
getting COVID again in Miami right now.
Is he? The F1 race? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wore a mask at the events I've been to because it's everybody's getting COVID right now. It's no bueno.
Yeah, I have it right now.
Great. I got my second booster.
Me too.
2 days ago. Yeah, I had to lie and say I had a weakened immune system to get it.
They don't check.
No, nobody checks.
I was going in. Listen to this story. This is LA right now. I was going to Saks Fifth Avenue to pick up a Mother's Day gift for my lovely wife tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much time, but I got there 10 minutes before they closed. And as I'm going in, there's a couple rushing in behind me, right? And it was a middle-aged woman without a mask. And it looked like her hotel driver with a mask. And as we're going in at the same time, he goes, you know, you don't have to wear your mask in there. Oh, she had the mask. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you don't have to wear your masking there. She goes, no, I do, as we're in the doorway together, because I'm sick right now.
Oh.
And I looked at her, and I went to the guy, I mouthed the words, what the fuck? And he shook his head, and then she just darted in and just, you know, she just felt it was okay.
Yeah.
I watched her. She's just giving COVID to all the people there.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what I think. That's how people feel about it, right? They just go, "Well, I'm sick. It doesn't matter. I'll just wear the mask." Ugh.
Anyway,
I probably have it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, Matt Farah, thank you so much for letting me come to your beautiful studio.
Thanks for coming by Westside Collecting Car Storage.
We'll be doing a big cigar smoke soon back up in Baldwin Hills. We'd love to have you back up there to smoke cigars.
Sure.
With the gang.
Sure.
Maybe one day we'll do a full five-on Spike's Car Radio host show.
Be very aggressive.
It'd be hard. I don't know who talks more, to be honest with you. Zuckerman would sit back, but you and Johnny and Jerry.
I think Johnny's probably would top me in
Jerry's
that.
Pretty strong too. He'll go, but he'll stop. It'd be interesting thing.
I've never done a show with Jerry.
Yeah, we should do a big show.
Haven't been on a. Finding out that he watched my YouTube channel made me very intimidated.
He's such a fan of YouTube journalists, right? Yeah. He's gone through his whole list. I know. Yeah. He's been talking about him in the show, and someone said he hasn't mentioned Matt Farah. And I think I wrote under that comment, well, that's because he says it in person.
That's because,
he's very complimentary to both Matt and to Johnny.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I respect much.
Well, he
respect.
Wanted to be an automotive writer too when he was young. That was his thing.
Didn't he write something? Didn't he write that Carrera GT piece
for
somebody?
Yeah, I was in it. Yeah. He and I went to Germany and he did that.
Yeah. Somebody else I spoke to that was very famous and successful said it was their dream to write about cars. And I was like, why fucking don't you? Anybody would take a story from someone
that
famous.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Forget who it was. Someone who hangs out, who's been to Malibu and was, someone that was like, I don't know, friends with you or something. I forget.
Just don't ask me to write one. I like being in the pictures, but I will obsess, and then it will ruin a week of my life, and then I'll get it wrong. It's hard. Writing is hard for me sometimes.
Road and Track has, you know, when you're in the print side specifically, you know, because print is forever, the fact checkers really go through it.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They don't, with the web stuff, they didn't do so much fact checking. With the print, they really do.
If I had a good editor who could give me some good feedback and help me and, you know, write half of it when I turn it in, that would help. That would be good.
Mike Guy said one of the nicest things to me, which is that you need less editing than almost anybody I've ever worked
with. See, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. See, now that's in my head. Now I'm thinking that. Yeah. And now if I don't do as good or better than you, then I'm going to have low self-esteem for 2 weeks.
Well, you wrote the Soup Nazi. I'll never write that.
I never feel good about them. There's never a moment where you go. It really isn't. I mean, when I was writing jokes for Weekend Update and one went off and you could hear a lot of applause, that was hard to kind of rat fuck myself on. I'd go, all right, well, that worked. But other longer things, like even that episode you just mentioned, on most days I would just go, oh. There are better things out there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way about stuff I've done and written and videos I've made and podcasts I've recorded.
Right.
I get imposter syndrome sometimes. You know?
Oh, I was just been reading about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have it. I think I definitely have it. I think I definitely have it. How
I just
I fix
finished,
that?
I read Seth Rogen's book, his new book. It's called
me too.
Yearbook.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
So funny.
I really thought it was a really funny book.
Except I bought the autographed edition. It just had a curly Q like Charlie Brown's hair across the top of his forehead.
For like $300?
And I went, what the hell, Seth? And he goes, I was tired that day. I tweeted him and he responded. I was tired that day. But yeah, what were you going to say about the book? He has imposter syndrome?
No, but he talks about, you know, being, you know, even though he's already been successful and he's had some success, he's put in the room with certain people and he's like, what am I even doing here?
Yeah. And I've been around long enough to know a lot of people in the room are thinking that about you and other people too, but it still doesn't help yours.
Yeah.
Right. You're always like, and it's part of it's good because it keeps you working hard and it really makes you examine what you're doing, but then it can also just go wrong.
With cars, I feel like that when I talk to Jason Camisa.
Yeah.
You know Camisa?
Yeah. I don't know him, but I know his work.
You know his work.
I like
He's great. I mean, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. He has like, you know, in wine, there's like super tasters. You know, like the super sommeliers. Like he's like a super taster for cars.
Yes.
And so I'm pretty good at my job and I'm proud of my work, but like he'll feel things in a car and notice things in a car and I'll be like, I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, there you go.
Do I actually suck at this? Like,
compare despair.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's the comparing and the despairing. And people, yeah. We do that in the car business. And there's the famous story, and apologize for saying it again, but Jerry and I were once in identical Conti Green 70Ss, both under 10,000 miles. And we were on the Hollywood Freeway, and I looked over and I thought, I want his car.
It was the same car.
Yep, and that's compare despair.
That's very funny.
That's our show this week, kids. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.